Shalom uvrecha to all. Welcome back to Chawadi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Michal Hartz. Today we'll be studying Sefer Malachim Alf Perek Yod Tas. Here we go. So remember, the rain came and Ahav goes home to Yisraela, to his winter palace, and Eliyahu is running ahead of him. And Ahav is clearly taken. He does not protest the slaying of the prophets of the Baal and Nachal Kijon, and he erroneously believes that his wife, Izebel, is also going to now have a change of heart and realize Eliyahu is a man of God, and that there is a God. No, that's not what's going to happen. Okay, so here we go. Perek Yod Tas Pasuk Av. Vayegeit Achav Izebel is kol asher asa Eliyahu. Achav comes home and he tells Izebel, you're not going to believe what Eliyahu did on Har Carmel. Is kol asher harag as kol nevim becharv. Not only the miracles that he did, but do you know he killed the 450 Nevi'ah Baal by Cherev? Izebel does not have the reaction Achav expects. But Tishach Izebel Malach Eliyahu Lemer. Izebel sends a messenger to Eliyahu saying, Ko Yasun Eloki Elohim. So my powers, my God shall do, so they shall add, because at this time tomorrow, I will make your life like one of them, i.e. their fate was death, your fate will be death. Vayar, and he sees that he's ever wants to kill him. Vayelech el nafsho, Eliyahu runs away to save his life. Vayavo Be'er Sheva asher li Yehuda. Now this is very significant. He comes to Be'er Sheva, which is in the territory of Yehuda. Why is that significant? Because in the territory of Yehuda, Malchus Yisrael cannot reach him. So he figures he's going to be safe here. Vayanach esnaro sham, and he leaves his lad, his attendant, there. Vahu halach bamidbar derech yom, vayavo vayeshev tachas rosem echad. He walks into the desert, he goes further south, and he comes, he sits under rosem echad. So listen, we're going to come back to this, so this is very important. I'm in Perek Yod Tes Pasuk Dalet. Vayeshev tachat rotem echad, or vayeshev tachas rosem echad, resh tav mem, so feet. He sits under this tree called a rosem or a rotem. We're going to come back to that. Vayishal es nafshal amus, and he wants to die. Vayomer rab ato Hashem, enough God, kach nafshi, take my soul, ki lo tov anochi miavosai, am I any better than my forefathers? The Mepharshim say a number of different reasons why he asked to die. First of all, he knows his mission is finished. If my mission is finished, I'm not inspiring the people, I'm not letting them know about God. What's the point of my life if I'm not serving Hashem? Another aspect, he knows Izebel is going to come kill himself. I'm going to die anyway, Hashem. Better for you to take me than Izebel to take me. Vayishkav, he lays down. Pasukei. Vayishan tachat rotem echad, or tachas rosem echad. Once again, we're told he lies beneath a rosem tree. Now, there's a difference of opinion, which should not surprise us. Some say it's the same rosem, some say it's a different rosem. It's very significant, and it tells us the kind of tree that he lays under. Like, why is that so important? We're going to talk about it. And behold, a malach comes and touches Eliyahu, and the malach says to him, get up and eat. And Eliyahu looks, pasuk vav, and he sees that there, behind his head or near his head, there was a certain kind of cake that was baked on coals. And there was some kind of cruise of water, and he eats, and he drinks, and he goes back, and he lays down. And the Malach of Hashem comes back a second time, and he touches him again, and he says, get up and eat, because there is a very far way that you have to go. You need strength. And he gets up, he eats, and he drinks, and he goes with the strength that he derived from eating, and it's a miracle. He goes for 40 days and 40 nights without needing food. Who does that remind of us? Us of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Lechem lo achalti v'mayim lo shasisi ze'arba amyam. Well, would you believe it? You know where Eliyahu ends up? 40 days and 40 nights after his last meal, Ad Har HaElokim Choreiv. Ah, what do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? Parsha Shmos Per Gemel. Vayovo Har HaElokim Choreiva. Ha! Moshe Rabbeinu ends up at the Mount of God. Choreiv, another name for Sinai. Would you believe where Eliyahu Navi ends up? Har HaElokim Choreiv. And he comes there, and there is a cave there. And the Mepharshim say it's the same cave where Moshe stood, where Hashem passed before him by the Yod Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And he sleeps there, and the word of Hashem comes to him. And the word of Hashem says, Malach HaPo Eliyahu. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? And Eliyahu says, Kano Kinesi Hashem Elokei Tzavakos. I have been zealous for Hashem, the God of hosts, ki azvu brischa b'nei Israel, because the children of Israel have forsaken, they have left your covenant. Es mizbechosecha harsu, they destroyed your mizbecho. The at neviyacha hargu becherev, they killed your neviim by sword. V'yivater ani levadi, and I am left alone. Like Yaakov Avinu, v'yivaser l'akov levado, v'yekshu efsh nafshi, v'yivakshu es nafshi dekachto, they desire my life to take it. And Hashem says to him, say, go out and stand on this mountain before Hashem and Pasuk Girav. And behold, Hashem was passing by. Very, very famous nevuah here. V'ruach gedola v'chazak b'farei karev u'meshaber soim l'fnei Hashem. And there was a very strong wind. It was so powerful. It was uprooting the mountains. It was smashing rocks before God. Lo b'ruach Hashem. But Hashem's spirit was not in that mighty wind. And then after the wind, there was a massive noise, an earthquake. Lo birash Hashem. Hashem was not in that massive noise of the earthquake. And then there was a fire. Lo be'ish Hashem. Hashem was not in the fire. After the fire, there was wind. There was a massive noise of earthquake. There was a fire. God's not in any of those. It was a still, called the Mama Dak, a thin, still, small sound. And when Eliyahu heard by Yalep Panab Adarto, he realizes that God is in that sound. And he wraps his face in his cloak. And he comes out and he stands at the entrance of the cave. And behold, the voice of Hashem says, Malacha Po Eliyahu, just like before. Why are you here, Eliyahu? Eliyahu says again, Kano Kinesi, the Hashem Elokei Tzavakos, I've been zealous for Hashem, the God of hosts. He repeats his answer, because they abandoned your bris, the children of Israel. They smashed your mizbecha. They killed your neviim by sword. And I've been left alone, and they want my soul. They want to kill me to take my soul. He answers the same thing. And Hashem says to him, get up, go back on your way from the Midbar Damasek, and come, and you will anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Hashem now tells him he's going to anoint a non-Jewish king, a Jewish king, and a new prophet. So Hashem says, go and anoint Hazael king over Aram. Not only that, Pasuk Tezayin, Ve'es Yehu ben Nimshi Timshach l'melech ha'yisha. And Yehu, the son of Nimshi, you will anoint as the king over Israel. Not only that, but as Elisha ben Shafa may avo mechola timshach lenavi techtecha. And not only that, but Elisha, the son of Shafa, from avo mechola, which is near the Bik'ad HaYardin, you will anoint as a navi instead of you. And these three men will take care of what needs to be taken care of. Basically, Hashem is saying you're going to pass the mantle on now. I'm going to quote from the Art Scroll, Reuben edition, Nevi'im Rishonim. What was this very deep and powerful vision that Eliyahu sees on Har Choreif? And what was the message that Hashem was telling? By the way, I just want to tell you what Radak says. Radak quotes a Medrash. Two times Eliyahu says they have left, they have annulled the covenant you made with them. Interestingly, Radak quotes Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Brischa Shabbat Lumehem Brismila. Eliyahu accuses them of not keeping Brismila, which is one of the reasons why Eliyahu, who accuses is Kaisho of not keeping Bismillah, has to be at every Jewish bris. Okay, fine. Eliyahu answered God's question. Malacha po Eliyahu. Eliyahu answers God's question with a scathing condemnation of the people of Israel. They betrayed their covenant with God. And because Eliyahu had acted zealously in defense of God's honor, he says, I'm forced to flee for my life. Raubag and Abarbanel go further. And comment in Eliyahu's speech here about Klal Yisrael was meant to say God should exact vengeance against the sinners. But the Medrash Shir Shirim Rabbah adds, Eliyahu wanted God to punish Israel. But Hashem said, they abandoned my covenant, not yours. They dismantled my Mizbechot, not yours. They killed my Nevi'im, not yours. Why are you more zealous than I? Eliyahu now says that they have done great damage to Am Yisrael, the impostors, the Nevi'ei Baal, Achav, Yizevel, the sinners. According to the Medrash, which I just told you, Radak quotes, the Jews abandoned the covenant of circumcision. I just told you that. Here we go. Radak and Rabag have different understandings of the nature of the profound vision Eliyahu sees. According to Radak, God is rewarding him for his enormous accomplishment on Har HaKarmel. However, according to Rabag, the vision is a rebuke to Eliyahu for having criticized Israel in harsh terms and implying they deserve to be punished. God will show him that far from wishing to punish the people, Hashem is showing them patience and compassion and time for teshuva. Eliyahu Navi should understand his role should be to pray for them, not attack them, which by the way becomes significant when we recognize that he's in the exact same place where Moshe had his vision in Parshas Ki Tisha when Hashem passes by and Moshe standing in a cleft in the rock. Moshe is davening for the people in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel. Moshe is davening, Hashem, forgive the people. Hashem reveals to him the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Where's Moshe standing in the same Har Chorev, Har Elokim? What's Moshe doing? Not accusing the people, begging for mercy. Okay. Following the general approach of the Rabag, when in Pasugit Aleph, Hashem says to him, Tsei v'amadata bahar, leave the cave, stand on the mountain. The Rabag says this is a rebuke. As noted above, Eliyahu had taken refuge in the cave that was used by Moshe after the sin of the golden calf. There, despite the enormity of sin, Moshe pleads for God's mercy. In contrast, Eliyahu Navi wants the people to be punished. Therefore, God told him, do not remain in the place where Moshe stood. And all of a sudden, Eliyahu hears a great wind. Targum says Eliyahu was shown the angels that guide such powerful and destructive forces, wind, earthquake, fire. These natural forces have always been stronger than man's ability to tame them, so they could symbolize God's strength. However, after each passing phenomenon, Hashem tells Eliyahu, no, that's not where I am. According to the Ralbag, God showed Eliyahu three destructive forces. By the way, this is the third parak in a row where three is very significant. Three destructive forces, a ruach, a ra'ash, and an ish, through which he could have punished Israel, which is what the prophet felt. Hashem showed him a strong wind, which could have brought punishment. An earthquake, which could have brought punishment. Fire, which could have brought punishment, which is what Eliyahu wanted. But each time God says, my desire is not wind, earthquake, or fire. I do not wish to destroy Israel, God was saying, despite the severity of their misdeeds. God meant to teach Eliyahu and the other prophets, when he did not appear in wind, fire, earthquake, that the preferable way to teach people is calmly and lovingly, not through anger and force. That's based on the Malbim. This implied criticism is reminiscent of the Rambam's explanation of Moshe's era. Okay, Parshas Chukas, when Moshe struck the rock, the Rambam says that Moshe was punished for striking the rock because he gave in to anger. Hashem was not angry with the Bnei Israel. Why was Moshe angry? Shimon Amorim. But the key word, because I'm going to quote from Shlomo Volbi, the great Ali Shur. Hashem wants to show Eliyahu and all of us, lo beruach Hashem. And not in the great tempest of storm is the divine presence found. Velo b'ra'ash Hashem. Not in the massive destructive earthquake is Hashem. Velo b'eish Hashem. Kol demama daka. The preferable way to teach people is calmly and lovingly, not through anger and force. Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal, the great Ali Shur in his Sefer Zriu Binyam Bechinek, Planting and Building, Raising the Jewish Child, and I'm quoting the English translation. He quotes Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Volbi quotes Rav Chaim Volozhiner. In the early 19th century, 1800s, Rav Chaim Volozhiner declared, these days, people will not listen to harsh language. If we speak to people harshly, says the Ali Shur, they cannot hear what we are saying. People only hear soft, pleasant language. We have no choice but to speak softly. Rav Chaim Volozhiner concluded, and someone whose nature makes it difficult for him to speak softly or who angers easily when others misbehave or refuse to listen is exempt from the command to offer rebuke. Says Rav Volbi, this was Rav Chaim Volozhiner's ruling in the early 1800s. One who angers easily cannot rebuke another. How much more applicable is Rav Chaim Volozhiner's ruling today, especially when it comes to disciplining children. Quote, if we speak harshly to people, they cannot hear what we are saying. People hear soft, pleasant language. We have no choice but to speak softly. This is true for Rabbeim and Moras and Mechanchos and parents and pulpit rabbis and principals and grandparents and spouses and friends and continue on and on and on. We have to learn how to speak softly. Hashem is not found in the ra'ash or in the ruach or in the ish. Hashem is found in the call de Mama Daka. And he asks Eliyahu Navi two times, what are you doing here? And both times Eliyahu Navi answers the same. After the second time, Hashem says, go appoint somebody else for your mission. I'm going to continue from the art scroll. I'm going back. We finished the piece I want to tell you from Rav Volbi. Okay. Why are you here, Eliyahu? The thin voice asking this question. Rabag explains, after demonstrating to Eliyahu he did not want the people to be punished severely, God asked Eliyahu the same question, why are you here? Eliyahu should not have responded with further condemnation of Israel. But he was so sad in his anger, he failed to comprehend God's message. He gave the same answer. The Malbim notes God was challenging Eliyahu. He had shown Eliyahu a vision meant to show him not to be so judgmental, but rather bring people to teshuva through love and mercy. God's question is, why are you still here, says the Malbim? Why have you not returned to lead the people without demanding retribution? Eliyahu was in the same cleft of the rock where Hashem taught Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Therefore, Hashem said, how can you demand punishment here in the very place designated for mercy? The Art Scroll, however, Nevi'im does note, Eliyahu's reply should not be taken as a defiance of God. Rather, his love was so great for Hashem, his revulsion at sin so intense, he could not bring himself to ignore the desecration of God's name that was the ultimate and inevitable companion of the nation's sinfulness. Now I want to answer, perhaps, why the Navi stresses the kind of tree that he went under. That's to tell you that every word of Tanakh is significant. Vayeshiv tachas rosem echas, or tachat rotem, reish tavnem. What kind of tree is that? Okay, this bush or tree actually appears in Sefer Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Chaf of Tehillim. David HaMelech there says, the psalmist says, Shir HaMalos El Hashem B'tzorasi Li Karasi Vayinini, a song of ascents to God. In my distress, I call out to God, and he answers me, Hashem Hatzil Nafshi Misfa Sheker, Hashem, save my soul from a tongue, from lips of lying, Milashan Rimya. Save my soul from lips of lying and a tongue of deceit. Hashem answers back, Mayitainicha Umayosif Lachlashan Rimya. What can I give you? What can we add for you, you tongue of deceit? What is so powerful about the tongue of the tzi? Chitzei gibur shenunim. The arrows of warriors have been sharpened. A tongue of deceit is like arrows of warriors that have been sharpened. Im gachalei resamim. With calls, gachalei gachalim, of resamim. Of the wood of this rosem tree. So the Gemara says in Erechin Tesvav Amad Beis, what does it mean? What can I give you? What can be given to you? What can be added for you, O tongue of deceit? The Gemara says in Erechin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra, ready? What does this Pashuk mean? What can be given to you? What can Hashem add for you, tongue of deceit? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the tongue, all the limbs of a person are upright, but you are laying down. The person's limbs are vertical. Think of your body, your torso, your arms, your legs, your head. But you are horizontal, tongue. All the limbs of a person are outside. Think of your hands and your feet and your nose and your ears. But you are the inside. Not only that, I gave you two walls. Achashal etzem, Rashi says, teeth. Achashal basar, lips. Tongue, you're so protected. You're behind the maximum security prison. You have a tongue. But you have it blocked by teeth. You have it blocked by lips. You're laying horizontal, and you're still talking Lashon Hara. Ma'ayitein lecha. What else should I give you, Hashem says to the tongue. U'mayo siflach. What can I add for you, Lashon Rimya, you tongue of deceit? And the very next pasuk, Chitzei gibor shenunim. The arrows of the mighty warrior are sharpened. That's like the tongue's power when it's evil. Im gachalei resamim. Like coals that burn with the wood of the rosem tree. What is the wood of the rosem tree? What are these coals? Listen to Rashi on Tehillim, Kuf Chaf Pasuk Dalet, Im Gechali Resamim. Kol HaGecholim, says Rashi, Kavum Mi Bechutz, Kavum Mi Bifnim. When you have coals, you extinguish them on the outside, they are extinguished on the inside. There's no heat on the inside. The Elu, but Rosem coals, or Rotem, Kavum Mi Bechutz, Velom Mi Bifnim. You can extinguish them on the outside, but on the inside, they're still burning. That's the power of a dangerous word. That's the power of Lashon Hara, Motzi Shema. Even if you apologize and you extinguish the coals, the sharpened arrow of your tongue on the outside, inside it's still burning. The Roshem of the Rotem of Lashon Hara never dissipates. And perhaps that's why here it says that Eliyahu went under a Rosem tree. It's to indicate to us that the impact of one's words, in this case against Klal Yisrael, would burn forever. And he accused them of not doing Bris Mila. He has to go at every Bris Mila. He didn't see the good. The Zohar says, oh no, I closed it. The Zohar says God rebuked him. No, the Chafetz Chaim says, Sefer Kuntros in Shmir Salashon, Eliyahu was a man of superlative righteousness, but God rebuked him for defaming the Jewish people and appointed Elisha to replace him. That's the Chafetz Chaim. The Zohar says, as a result, Eliyahu swore he would always seek out the good deeds of Israel and report them to the heavenly throne. So therefore, perhaps that's why it's a Rosim, because the coals are still burning inside. Eliyahu forever is impacted. He has to go to every bris. He has to travel the world to seek out all the good deeds of Israel, and the impact of one's Lashon Hara remains forever. The end of the parak I prepared, but I don't have time for. Hashem tells him to anoint the non-Jewish king, the Jewish king, and go find Elisha and anoint him. He finds Elisha plowing in the field. He puts his cloak upon Elisha. The Nevi'im wore a special cloak, which is a sign that Elisha will be the next Navi. Elisha makes a whole feast for his family and the people there, and Elisha gets up and he goes after Eliyahu and he serves him. That is how the parak ends. And dedicated anonymously as a schuss for our Torah learners across the world. May Hashem grant them koach and wisdom to lead Kaisel, who is closer to Hashem in the coming. Thank you so much to all.